Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and I'm here with my guest, Eliza Mada Dalanian. I think that's right. Is that right, Eliza?
Dalian,
I'm sorry. In search of the miraculous healing
in
the consciousness.
You can call me Mada for short.
I'm sorry?
You can call me Mada for short.
Mada for short. Okay.
Yes.
Anyway, Mada is here with us to discuss her book, In Search of the Miraculous, Healing into Consciousness. This is a wonderful book for seekers and people interested in consciousness and understanding actually why we're here and how to get to the next level of our journey. Thank you for joining us very much.
Thanks very much for having me.
Are you calling from Canada now?
I am in Vancouver, Canada, yes.
Vancouver, great. You have an interesting story yourself. Would you mind sharing with the audience a little bit about how you became interested in consciousness and enlightenment?
I think, well, my story is, in a way, everybody else's story. All of us, somewhere deep down, are looking for awareness, consciousness, and enlightenment, what mystics call enlightenment. But some of us are aware of it, they're conscious, and some of us aren't. But deep down, everybody has that longing. And for me, where that revealed itself was very early on in my life, this lifetime, when I saw my grandfather die in front of me. And that put me on a very interesting quest where most of us start asking those questions at some point in our life, but more later than sooner. So the questions were, what am I doing here? Who am I? What is my purpose here? Where do I come from? Where would I go? Because I had the awareness at the young age that life is temporary and sooner or later I'm going to also die. And witnessing our own mortality or looking at our own mortality is the greatest awakener. And, you know, that's what happens many times when people have illnesses, especially their incurable, so to speak, illnesses, they're put into a space where they have to ask those questions. And that's what started me on my journey when I was 5 years old. And also, I had a blessing of my grandmother, who was a very wise soul. And when I watched her pray every night before she went to bed, I started teasing her as a child, and I thought that she's praying to God. And I teased her, and I said, well, there is no God. Where is God? If there is God, show him to me. And she said, God is within you. God is within every human and everywhere around you, in animals and in trees. And that kind of made sense as well. So my foundation was a really good one in that sense. Although, you know, later on I went through a lot of difficulties in my life as I, you know, went on through my development.
Yeah, I think there's a common theme amongst a lot of people who are on the path that they get to a point in their life where they actually have everything. They have everything that the traditional world would say would make you happy, you know, relationships, money, power, a job, you know, a job you love. Everything is given to you, and yet you have a sense of emptiness. And in the book, you talk about this emptiness, and that emptiness is really a gift because it allows you to take the next step into asking the questions that are really important to ask.
Absolutely. That's precisely that space that you enter. That emptiness means that you suddenly step out of the world and realize that all this is actually fleeting.
Right.
And the world is fleeting, but we're so identified with it that we forget that the world is fleeting, and therefore our suffering is very much there because of our identification with the world.
Yeah, that's a common teaching that Buddha had, that suffering was identification with that which did not last. And and it's really true. I mean, it's, if you logically look at it, that it's the only conclusion you can really come to.
Exactly right, and that's what I call the ego mind, the identification with the ego mind.
So something, you come to a point in your life when you stop identifying with the ego mind and become aware of an internal witness that has always been there, was with you probably before you were born and will probably be with you after you die. And that's interesting, that when you become aware that there's something deep within you that is always there.
That's precisely what consciousness is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Consciousness that always witnesses what happens without being identified. The interesting thing is that sooner or later, even if somebody does not do any kind of spiritual work, life will force them to start looking in. Life will force them to start asking questions. But what happens because of lack of education, that this is something of tremendous, of utmost importance, and we don't teach this in our schools, then we add to suffering, not only to ourselves, not only, you know, in our families, but all around the world. And everything that we do in the world unconsciously adds to more suffering.
Yeah, I've often suspected that when people enter into depressions not related to anything like a death or, you know, something that would cause a depression, these free-floating depressions people have may be related to their unwillingness to go down a path that would lead them to the next step in this search or this unfolding. It's not really a search all the time because you're not consciously searching, but it definitely is an unfoldment with different stages, which I think you've done a great job in your book of listing, because the different steps in the unfoldment of this consciousness are definitely related to the chakras, you know, the level of awareness, and you talk about the different chakras becoming kind of turned on, and that's where the life is I guess the person's life is centered. And then something happens, and then they go to the next level. And it's just it's a very good explanation of the path of enlightenment.
I tried to do my best to basically lay out everybody's story,
mm-hmm.
to how we move from ego into liberated consciousness. So it took me 7 years to lay out the map, so to speak. But yeah.
So well, it's one of the best maps I've seen. So it's very good. I've interviewed, you know, I've done this show for over 17 years, interviewing somebody every week on spirituality and consciousness. So I've heard a few different theories. But it's very good. Do you want to talk
whatever I've written, and you know, it's. I think the truth only speaks when it is our own experience.
True.
Because you know, without it, we speak from our mind, and we can only touch the mind. And if we want to touch the being, we want to touch the person deep in their core, in their heart. We need to speak from our experience, and. Every single word in that book comes from experience.
Right, right. And basically, you make the point in the book that you can't really become enlightened by thinking about it. It's not something you can figure out mentally. It is experiential.
Exactly.
And that's very true. But, you know, after you've gone through certain experiences and felt the spinning sensations inside your body when chakras are opening up and that you refer to, and some of the other things, you can I learned a lot just reading the book from different things. We have a meditation group that meets 3 times a week, so we do quite a bit of work in meditation. Although it's not really work, obviously, but we do a lot of different things in meditation and different sensations and different experiences. And so some of the stuff we're experiencing, I can relate to based on the 7 chakra description of how the kundalini energy is moving up.
Mm-hmm.
I might not
so it sort of helps then. It helps to my feeling with this book is many times people have many experiences, but sometimes they can't really put words to what it is or understand what the experience is all about.
Right.
And this is what I tried to convey through the book, so that there is an understanding of the experience, and also there's an understanding that there's more. There's
right.
more depth to go through.
Yeah, it kind of gets you an idea of where you're at, and so you won't be blindsided when the next thing comes by. Because, like you say, once you go, once you leave ego mind behind, it does become a world of that's very different, and sometimes you can be attacked, which I've personally had happen in the realm of, like, say, what was happening at the hospitals. You know, it's like the regular world can't understand where you are and what you're speaking of, so they tend to go into fear and attack you. And that's
mm-hmm.
that's something that, and then you eventually say that once you get high enough up, it becomes just very, very difficult even to live in the physical world at all. You know, you made that point, which I think is also true. I used to have dinner with a lot of the masters that came into Atlanta. I was friends with the lady that brought them in, and we would go out to dinner the first night they came. And so I had the opportunity to meet many masters from around the world. And so, you know, I understand they're very different in terms of their energy, their eyes are different. They're just different beings than the average person that you're going to meet on the street, and it is more difficult for them to be in the world.
Yes, very true. And you know, when people attack, it's simply based on any kind of attack is based on fear.
Oh yeah,
because if there
that.
Was no fear, there would be no need to attack. Then you'll be more open to move with the experience. And because people are so conditioned with religious conditionings, with their personal conditionings at home or through their experiences, then it becomes so difficult for them to understand such concepts, and therefore the only way they know how to deal with it is to go into an attack mode. And
yeah,
unfortunately, in the past, we have honored these kind of people. We have given them voice. But now the time has changed, and I now say it's time for us to honor consciousness, because we have on consciousness for so long. We have given power to people who are afraid. And
mm-hmm.
now is time to say enough. This is, if we're going to evolve into higher species, into better humanity, we have to stop feeding the insecurities that people have. We have to stop feeding their fears and their conditionings. And we have to basically help people understand that if they don't get attention because of their insecurities, then they're going to have to, because everybody has the power within. It's just people don't like the work. So then they need to be put into a space where they can understand that it's up to me to change my life. I cannot project my fears on other people. And we need to bring in more celebration into our lives, because I think that's what's really, really missing. And there's so much sadness and there's so much suffering because we have focused, we have fed it with our attention, we have fed it with our sympathy. And frankly, now we need to create warriors, because only warriors have made a difference in this world. Only rebels have made a difference in this world. And we have always tried to attack, crucify, and, cut their heads. And now we just need to stop doing that, and we need to start honoring people who bring consciousness. That's my point of view, because otherwise we're all doomed in a way to sink under this big wave that is coming, and we have to face our death. We have to stand on our own feet, because nobody can do it for us. Nobody can do it for someone who's been living in fear for so long, because it's their responsibility.
What I sort of see happening is interesting. There is a change in the energy coming to the planet, and I've interviewed people on why that is, but essentially it has to do with the cosmic alignment and a photon belt. Let's leave it at that. But there's a change in energy that is coming to the planet that's going to really wipe out victim and victimizer. That's what I see. I see that anybody who is stuck in victim and victimizer, and it's really true, what I see is that people who say they're victims actually often victimize others. You know, it's a back and forth energy. And so
Absolutely. That's how they sort of, like, because of their fears, they try to pull everybody else down.
Right.
In order for people to understand, and this is actually one other aspect in the book where I talk about the wounded ego, mm-hmm. that it absolutely needs to be healed before it can be let go of. The ego has
right.
to be positive. It has to be strong. It's like a fruit that is ripe on a tree. Only a ripe fruit would fall from the tree. And the same thing is with our ego. And we need to actually understand that if we want to become more conscious, we have to take care of ourselves. We have to be, in a way, selfish and say, well, If I cannot nurture myself, if I cannot do for myself what I need to do in order for me to feel fulfilled and content within, how can I help anyone else?
Yeah, that's very true. And this is
how that development of consciousness works in each chakra simultaneously with the development of the ego. And there's, like you said, there's like an energy in the world that's changing, but I think that energy, that photon belt, so to speak, is created by more and more people who are on the same wavelength right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you're doing your radio show, you're bringing this consciousness in, this kind of energy, and people to speak on your show. And thanks to the internet and thanks to the technology now, suddenly we're starting to see these people who are more conscious. Whereas
yeah.
before, they would be hidden in small pockets.
Right.
So obviously everything is supporting for the new to come. And the thing is that when somebody's conscious, they do the work they do out of their compassion,
mm-hmm.
because they do want to help those who are unconscious. The thing is, they can speak, they can, you know, they can bring the words, but the bottom line is everybody needs to do the work. And
right.
that's why I love to bring practical methods in. And in a way, mm-hmm. the only way people can really, really understand the theory, so to speak, is through their experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, we all have negative experiences. I mean, everybody, it seems like, that we interpret as negative, and that's a judgment. And I think that when you let go of ego mind, and first, you're right, you have to develop a strong ego sense before you can let go of it. You can't just let go of it being a victim. I mean, you've got to heal it and then let go of it. But once you do that, you realize that even the most negative experiences that you would have judged negative before actually are great opportunities for spiritual growth and are really part of your soul's contract. So anything really significant that happens in your life, if you just go gather more information about it, you can see that it's a real blessing. It might be averting you from some disaster down the road if you continue on that path. It might be allowing you for the next step up, as described in your book. you know, to go to the next level of bringing the energy into the next chakra. Everything is actually very secure, safe, and directed here. And once you realize that, life becomes a lot easier to live, and suffering becomes a lot less common.
That's true. And my experience with people, and I've been working with people for 20 years through intensives and through one-on-one work with my healing method, is that what really helps, what truly helps is the practical methods that people work with. And I love using the active meditations, and I have, I don't know if you've had a chance to look into the I can't remember even if, did you get the No Yes Active Meditation CD? Did you have a chance to try that?
No, just the book. Just the book.
Okay. We'll send you the MP3. You should try this meditation if you're doing workshops. Because it's, and we just recently did a research project on it, and it's amazing how this particular meditation, for example, is called No Yes. That there was the person had this device. It measures radioactivity in a space, in a room. So the device, the reading was at 13 when we started the meditation, and at the very end it went down to 0.6, or was 0.13, went down to 0.6, and he said that was the lowest reading he's read on this device. So the meditation, in one short hour, it was incredible the transformation that happened to people. And this is what I mean by, you know, we need to do things. It's like releasing all those negative emotions. We can't do that only mentally. This is what I bring. My gift to humanity is bringing those methods. And the active meditations that I use, and also my healing method called the Galien Method, which will be coming out as a self-healing method next year. Again, we experimented and researched that one as well, and it was amazing how all those negative emotions that are repressed in the body can be quickly released, and how quickly consciousness can come in. Because, again, we're at the point, I feel, that intellectually many people have done a lot of work, they've read a lot of books, there's a lot of understanding, and now we need to bring practical methods in. And this is because I'm a very practical person, I'd like to have personal experiences. This is why I devise the methods that can help people. And I use the methods that I've used from my teacher, Osho, with his active meditations, that helped with my transformation. And I think this is where the joy comes in, when a person can discover, can come to that aha experience and discover their inner truth on their own. And nobody can realize that understanding of truth to anyone. It has to be each person's experience. But that's where we need to start using state-of-the-art tools, state-of-the-art techniques, to bring us very quickly there. And many people don't even know that these techniques are available.
Right,
and
that's true.
This is what I'd like to share on your show, that, you know, there are techniques that within a short 1 hour, you can actually take a leap in transformation, leap in consciousness. And If we're moving so fast, which we are, everything is so quick now, the old methods cannot work anymore. We do need those new methods. We need to open to an experience of a jump. We need to take that quantum jump, and people are ready for it. People normally who come and find me, they have tried, they say that they've tried everything and they still feel stuck. And they feel stuck because all those thought forms, beliefs, and emotions are still in the body. We need to release them very quickly, and this is precisely what the methods that I bring in offer.
So this is your healing technique is one that helps release negative emotions. What about past trauma, like that's physical?
It's all physical. It's all physical because the technique actually helps heal not just the emotional, mental repressions, because those repressions would create physical illness, physical ailments. Once those released, the physical ailments themselves heal. On my website, I have lots and lots of testimonials of people that I've worked with, mm-hmm. and some of them quite in detail describing the condition and what happened as a result. And the miracle is that it does not take a long time. It does not take years and years and years. Within 1 hour, you can move lifetimes. You can move, years ahead of what you've been doing. So, because this techniques also many times bring out past life experiences very quickly. And mm-hmm. this is what happens in this short experiment or the research project that we recently did. Some people have been grieving for years, and you could tell that heavy energy around them. And after using the self-healing technique that the book will come out, the book and the CD will come out next year. It's called the Dalian Method. And just miraculously, that whole heavy energy was released, and people actually are emailing back a week, 2 weeks later to tell that they're still feeling so light, and their productivity at work is better, and people are noticing that they're actually happier. This is what I'm trying to convey, that we don't need to suffer. We can do this quickly. Mm-hmm. All we have to do is be available to experiment and to explore new things. That could take us.
I saw a lot of
outside of the mind.
Yeah, I saw a lot of this in action during my observation of my spiritual father working. He would do releasing work that was just really amazing, and then people's cancer would go away. And he used to tell me, cancer's really easy. It was for him. I've seen it work on incredible, miraculous results that were really just what you're saying, the result of releasing energies that don't need to be there, and they could be released very, very quickly. Time and time again, people with chronic problems that have had for years, we're never able to get rid of within sometimes 5 minutes. He would get rid of the pain or the problem. And I observed
exactly.
It. So you're
this
right.
What,
I mean, I know
exactly.
It. I know it exists.
And imagine for a moment that you can actually be on your own. This is
I do. I use the methods that he taught me on myself. I absolutely do. I think it's wonderful stuff. Do you want to give your website name so people could take a look at it?
Yes, the website is www.mada.dalian.com.
Right. And the book's going to come out next year?
This particular book, so the In Search of the Miraculous that you were talking about, Healing into Consciousness, that's out. And
right.
As a matter of fact, the book and the CD, we have a gift for people who purchase the book and the CD, just to encourage them to start doing something practically. They will also receive a free teleclass with me, where I can actually look at their energy and look at the core issues, because through my methods, I go to the root cause of the issue. Unless we go there and remove the root cause, it's really difficult to create a very quick transformation. So then I give people guidance to what they can do, and what are the actual thought forms that are repressed in the body and in the energy. So that's that's one gift. And then we have another gift, which is a power shake recipe, which is very, very nutritious, and it boosts a lot of energy that people can use in the morning instead of breakfast. And that is free with the newsletter sign up on my website.
Great.
Well, and yeah, the second book, the Healing into Consciousness with the Galien Method, a revolutionary self-healing method for a new humanity. That's the title of the book, and that will come out as a book and two CD sets in next year. Where and it will have also some amazing results of the research that we're just did with the methods in the book as well. So that's totally going to put more power back into people's hands, where it's almost like, you know, there's no more excuse. Techniques and tools are available. So it's no more excuse to stay in victim mode, and there's no more excuse to be depressed, because that could be cleared so quickly. And why not enjoy life? Because life is here to be enjoyed. It's not here to be suffered. It's not here to be feared. And of course, ultimately, also the necessary part of our transformation is to face our mortality. And once that is transformed, then the ultimate liberation happens. And for that, I also have an MP3 on my website, which is called Transcending Fear of Death and the Unknown. And that's another, people who tried it, they say that the fear of death suddenly disappears. Just going through that short guided process of how it is to actually go through death. And once you go through it, then you go, oh, I'm still here. I don't die.
Right. Yeah, I actually came in knowing that. I don't know how I knew that, but when my grandfather died, I was 6, and I didn't realize until later because I saw what I wrote, but I wrote my grandmother this note, and basically it said that grandfather hadn't really died. He was still here, but he just did. Anyway, I can't remember the exact words, but I don't think that I learned that before 6. I think I had to bring it in with me. I mean, that's something that I always knew, that we didn't really die. So really, fear of death
is, and that's what I'm saying. That's what I said in the beginning.
Right.
Yeah, we all have that knowledge when we come.
We do. We just forget it.
We get conditioned, and we forget. And we all have the knowledge that we're eternal. And this is where, because we forget, because of our forgetfulness, is why we suffer.
It's true. I mean, if you have, if you believe that death is the end, then you grieve every time somebody close to you dies, and then you fear what is inevitable, that you fear, you live your life more in fear than anything else, because you can never get away from the, you might be able to not remember for a little bit, but it does come back every time you get sick, or you get a near miss in an accident or whatever. Your mortality comes back to you very strongly. You really can't live life ignoring it completely. So,
and that's right, and that's part of the, that's one part of the education that is missing.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, we sterilize death, and because of that, and also people don't understand that when they grieve for someone, they're not really grieving for someone. They're grieving because of their mind that says, I'm not going to see this person anymore.
And also,
and
I think some grief is grieving that they're going to die. I think it brings it back home to them.
Yeah, many times people don't even look at their mortality. This is the problem. They don't think that I'm going to die also. You see, if somebody can really see their mortality, that's a wonderful gift that anybody's death can bring them. But most of the time, people grieve without really paying attention that I'm going to die also.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment they do realize their own mortality, that's where some important steps can be taken.
Mm-hmm. Well, you in your book you describe very well some of the path of conscious dying, which I think is well, first of all, it's good for people to know that there is something called conscious dying. Would you like to review that a little bit? Because I think people need to know that that's something they could strive for.
Well, absolutely. And the possibility of conscious dying can happen when we start living consciously, because the very last moment to try to die consciously, it's many times difficult, because not only for the person themselves, but because people around them bring in a lot of their sadness, mm-hmm. a lot of their attachments, and because people who are close to their death, they're very sensitive, and they feel other people's sadness, they feel other people's fears, and they try to accommodate them. And therefore, it does not allow them to move on lightly, to move on in peace, and to move on opening to something new. So mm-hmm. conscious dying is very much a part of, needs to be a part of conscious living. In other words, we need to stop ignoring death. We need to start looking at death as a gift, not as a calamity. And if we start looking at death in that way, then we can learn the lessons that death brings. Otherwise, it's not possible. You know, I feel so sad for people. There's so many people who die in hospitals, and they die, you know, medicated. They die unconsciously, and obviously, you know, the body starts falling apart, and doctors feel helpless because they don't know what to do. They just want to put these people into more comfortable physically position. But ultimately, there's something very fundamental missing in our society, and conscious living needs to be actually brought into schools. It needs to be brought into education system alongside with the conscious dying understanding that everybody's going to die. Might as well make friends with it, might as well make peace with it, so that you can live your life fully, because people, they're afraid of death all their life, they miss living, and then when death comes, they miss dying. And everything is just a transition. It's a bardo from one state to another state. This is what Tibetan teachings show us, that it's you transit from one state to another state, which they call a bardo.
Yeah, it's so amazing that the Tibetans and the Egyptians knew so much more about that than we do now. Isn't that interesting? I mean, as a society.
That's such a gift, yes.
They really did. It was interesting. They studied it. And you mentioned in your book that anything, and this is so true, anything that you concentrate on, you create an electromagnetic field so that information comes to you about it. And so Einstein, with his thinking of, you know, he wanted to figure out the theory of everything, so, and he had certain electromagnetic field properties so that he could do that, say, better than maybe I could. And so then that information came to him. Whereas maybe in plastic surgery, when I need an answer, I can get that better than Einstein could, because he wasn't a plastic surgeon. It's just really
mm-hmm.
neat.
Because mm-hmm.
I really think that's true. I think we can attract in answers to problems by asking for them from the universal mind, or whatever you want to call it, spirit, or whatever you want to call it. So.
Oh,
we need to do
same
that more
as
often.
The law of attraction, isn't it?
It is. It's great. I mean, it's so, it opens up a whole new thing, world of things to do, you know. So,
yes.
We have a lot of fun doing that.
Yes,
meditation.
And it also shows you that you're not alone.
No. Well, once you put ego mind aside, you realize you're not alone. I mean, I think that is something that. I went through a transformation in 1990, and since then I've not felt loneliness at all, ever. Even when I was very ill and very, you know, vulnerable to those kind of feelings, I felt very much the presence of God around me, and the presence of my, you know, the guardian angels or whatever you want to call them, the guides and everything were all around me. Very intensely then.
Well, yeah, that's right. And also, once you know yourself, this is the whole journey toward transformation. Once you know yourself, it's all about knowing yourself.
It is.
People think I know myself, but they don't. They truly don't know their true being. It's not about the body or the profession or the name or, you know, it's about knowing the being, the emptiness, that void that everybody's part of.
Mm-hmm.
And in that void, we're all one. And in that void, we know that that void is full of love and it's full of joy and full of creativity. But
it's also full of information.
Where the moment you...
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
This is where the moment you find it, then suddenly all the problems disappear. And this is why the know thyself is what was written on the Oracle of Delphi. Know thyself is the most important thing.
It is, because once you know that part of yourself that is eternal, then you are connected to everything that is.
Exactly.
And it's a big world of exploration. It's a big world of possibilities, creation, and manifestation, not just in this dimension, but in other dimensions as well. And once you've...
That's right, and that's what exactly brings joy.
Right, right, because you're not limited.
Creation.
You don't have to create here alone because... Well, I mean, eventually, you might come back here, but you might not, you know. So if the third dimension is all that is, it could be pretty dismal, you know, if that was really true. So, because, you know, you spend your whole life accumulating things, relationships, you know, doing all these, accumulating all these degrees and abilities, and then, boom, you're dead, you know. That would be like,
right, exactly.
Well, what's the
and
point?
Can take an away.
Yeah, but I
imagine if people would live in that lightness of being,
right?
You know, just the world would be so much more pleasant, so much more joyful place to be if people were just living in lightness instead of living in fear,
yeah,
and in pain and wallowing in their, you know, in things that they don't have, because
mm-hmm.
life itself is so abundant.
Well, you know, everybody has free will, at least here. I mean, not maybe in all dimensions and planes, but here they have free will. And, you know, I think that some people are living nightmares. You know, they're living a nightmare that they can't seem to get out of, and they believe everything they hear on the evening news, and, you know, they go deeper and deeper into the spiral of despair and fear and negative emotions, and of course the law of attraction comes in, so they attract more. And then part of the society is going up and up and up and using healing techniques like you're bringing out and getting rid of all the negativity quicker and quicker and quicker, because we are bringing in better tools and better, you know, ways to do it, quicker ways to do it, which I'm all for. And so part of the population swirling upwards in energy, and reminds me when Jesus said, you know, the weak shall be separated from the chaff. I mean, we're going, consciousness is splitting in this dimension. And it's going, I mean, the fear-based section is getting more and more and more fear-based, and the love-based section is getting higher and higher and manifesting and creating and doing better and better. And that's what I think this is all about, this time in history. I think you're going to speed up in one direction or another.
That's very true. And also, what's happening, people are starting to get information. I think
mm-hmm.
part of the transformation globally, the whole era of internet has brought in, is bringing information to people that was lacking before. You can go to YouTube now and find all sorts of information that you know, all sorts of exposés that in the West, because of lack of information, people would believe in whatever conditionings they were in. And now, you know, something like 9/11 happens, and on internet suddenly you start discovering information to what exactly might have happened behind it, what was the truth behind it.
And then you really see how screwed up the world is. It really is. That's what's so funny about it. I mean, this world is really, really, really messed up in some ways. So you have to laugh about it.
You know what? We're discovering that it's messed up. It's been messed up for
It's been messed up, exactly. You're right. But something like 9/11 has really, at least for me, it opened my eyes. I mean, it really opened my eyes. I was in the military before. I was in the Air Force for 13 years. I sat alert. I know how our defense systems had to be systematically taken down for that to happen. And so that meant that there had to be something else behind it. You know, I mean, I knew too much.
Yeah.
People in the military knew too much about saying that, oh, they didn't have any airplanes available to respond. You know, like, right. Come on.
Right. And also, you know what this brings up, also a question of questioning, or the people need to start questioning everything. As,
they do.
Taking things at face value, but questioning that, okay, well, let me really find out what the truth is about it. And one way to find out what the truth is about things is to understand that the way the ego world works, the way this world works, it's based on manipulation. It's based on control. It's based on inflicting fear. And basically, the power wants to always win. And once you understand that the people who are telling you things, and they're conditioning you, so they keep you in fear, once you understand that, then you can step out of being a sheep, a victim.
Yeah, and understanding,
saying,
understanding the psychological methods is very interesting. In fact, we were talking about this in the meditation group about disinformation. Some of the people in our circle have been in the CIA before, so learning from them was very valuable. Disinformation, there's always an element of truth in disinformation. But disinformation is always given so that something much bigger will not be looked at. Isn't that interesting? I mean, that pattern exists again and again.
We need to bring that into our daily lives, too, and see how we do the same thing in our families.
Yeah, so you hide, if you want to hide something, the method, which we call disinformation, is used, like, as you say, maybe in families, but also used in major political, you know, things that you think you know what happened because of what was on TV, but part of that is real, but part of it is disinformation. And you have to use your intuition to figure out what's what. And then I use my intuition on the internet. You know, I hear what to Google, and then that takes me exactly to what I need to know. So that's how I find information sometimes, which is very valuable information. But Google and other search engines have allowed any information in the world to become available to you if you type in the right words.
That's right. And also, you know, what's really important is, in order to understand the world, all we have to do is observe our immediate environment, the people immediately in our environment, our family members, our friends. If we start observing their behavior and how their egos are working, we will understand how the government is working, how the clergy is working, how the whole religious organization is working. It's all working on the same principle because people run those organizations.
Right.
So if we understand that, you know, how people in your immediate environment are open or manipulative, which way their mind is thinking, how they're behaving, then same behavior is also prevalent in the same behavior also is in the government. The same behavior is between nations.
That's true.
You know, if one nation is trying to become more powerful than the other nation, it's the same thing. One person in the family is trying to keep control and power. There's no difference.
So you recognize patterns, as above, so below. And patterns are what
that's
we don't
right, and also that, exactly, and this is where you start, you need to then start saying, okay, well, if this is the situation, I want to know myself because I'm doing the same thing. It's not just what other people are doing to me. I do the same thing to other people. I'm manipulating them because I want something from them. I am using them. I am, you know, and the moment we take responsibility that we're contributing to this, this is where, in the root, everything will start changing. Because it's not about the outside. It's about inside. It's about what each person does within themselves is how the world is going to change. Changing outside is impossible without changing inside.
Right. That's true. Well, we're coming up to the end of our hour. I've been interviewing Mada Dalian and her book, In Search of the Miraculous, Healing into Consciousness. Would you like to give your contact information once more, Madhya?
The website is madhya.com or Healing into Consciousness.
Great, great. Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. We had a lovely conversation. Hopefully we'll have you back with your book release next year. That would be great. And I want to thank everybody for joining us. Next week we'll be interviewing Connie Strausheim, Insights into Lyme Disease Treatment. And then on the 19th, Dr. Doug Bremner, who wrote a book exposing the pharmaceutical industry. I interviewed him on that a couple of years ago, and then he had some retaliation, and he wrote another book called The Goose That Laid the Golden Egg. We'll have him on the 19th, and then we'll have Lynn McTaggart back on the 26th. Her new book is called The Bond. I'm giving Noetic Science Meeting this coming Thursday, November 17th at 7:15 at the Dunwoody office in Atlanta. I'll be talking about my new book, Optimism, Cultivating the Magical Quality That Can Extend Your Lifespan, Boost Your Energy, and Make You Happy Now. I'm one of about 40 authors in this book, including Jimmy Carter, Michelle Obama, Steve Jobs, Carolyn Mace, Bono, Meryl Streep, Martha Stewart, and Queen Noor, and some other. It's really an international book on something we touched on in this interview, that optimism is a very, very important thing to cultivate in your life so that you can continue spiraling upwards rather than spiraling down into pessimism. So join me then for the Noetic Science Meeting. Well, thank you very much for joining us, and I wish you a great week, and we'll be back next week with Temple of Health Radio Show.